Good morning, good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you another study from God's Word. Yes, sir, we're bringing you another study. Early this morning, across this nation, on many radio stations, I wish you'd sit down and write me. Let me give you this announcement. Right now, as we speak, every day from 8:45 to 9 o'clock, Central Standard Time, if you have the internet capacity, you can pick us up on www.wlno, right here out of New Orleans, over your internet, www.wlno.com. That's our flagship radio station here in New Orleans, and you can hear us over the internet. I don't know what they call it, streaming or something like that, but you can pick it up if you know anything about the internet system. But we're bringing you a series of messages now on the preacher. We're just getting started. We've been there a few days, got a few more studies to go, but we're looking at the preacher, and right now we're looking at the unsaved preacher. Do you know we have many unsaved preachers? Pastor Shelton made a statement many years ago that he believed that 95% of our preachers were not saved. Now, I know that's a bold statement. I know that. And I don't know the hearts of men and women, but I know the fruits. I know the fruits of preachers. I do. I see their fruits, and I see their congregations. You know, the no congregation rises any higher than the pastor. That's right. That's right. If you have a worldly pastor, you're going to have a worldly congregation. That's right. If you have a faithful and true and tried congregation, it's because that pastor is faithful and true and tried, and he's taught you the gospel after you've been saved, and he sets example for you. I set the example here every day for my folks. I'll try, I attempt, I ask the Lord to give me grace to walk day by day in front of these folks. And but listen, we're speaking about the unsaved preacher. The average preacher today does not uncover a sinner's heart and bring him before God as a guilty sinner mourning over his sin. No, you don't hear many folks talking about Holy Spirit conviction like we do here on this broadcast. And you say, well, what is that, Pastor? What is Holy Spirit conviction? I've never heard of it. I had a preacher tell me in the office over there one day, he'd come sit down and talk with me, and I mentioned, he said, what are you talking about? And I told him, I said, it's the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, coming to a poor old sinner and open his heart, awaken him. We call it awakening ministry. But listen, Phariseeism now has largely taken up with and contends for religious practices, customs, and tradition. And I hear that. I get so sick, I turn on some of our radio preachers at night, and I get so sick, I just turn them off. Listen, they strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, preach loyalty to the church instead of loyalty to Christ. Pharisees are so particular about some things and so critical if folks don't conform to their ideas, and on the other hand, they're so broad about others until they permit all types of error and false doctrine. I see that, my friend. I see that many, many years ago when I was a child come up there in the country, and they had several Pentecostal people there whom I loved and honored because they lived what I thought was a righteous life. I don't know their heart, but they dressed like they should dress, modestly. But now I see the preacher's wife with the short shorts on up in the grocery store on Saturday morning, and they're playing softball on Saturday night, runs way up into the Sunday morning. I hear them youping and hollering, and they tell me if you miss three Sundays, you don't get to play ball. All of that stuff, my friend, you call that a pastor? No, sir, that's not a pastor. That's a false preacher. That's a false preacher. All of those stuff reminds me of what the pastor called an old Mother Hubbard. It covers everything and touches nothing. They rely on outward profession only and decision for salvation and think that because they are baptized, belong to some church, going to heaven. And then they cry down anything that will disturb their unsaved church members. You let me or someone else go into that area with a broadcast and you'll hear all kind of criticism. Don't listen to that old trailblazer. Don't listen to that crackpot. Don't listen to him. No, sir. They draw their breath, draw their salary, and let the congregations go to hell. Now, I know what I'm talking about, folks. I do. They build great memorials to the old Calvinistic preachers of yesterday, yet they kill a preacher that preaches the same doctrine today. They memorialize men like Spurgeon, Baxter, Bonar, Max Shane, George Whitfield, John Wesley, many of the others, and they say, would to God we had men like we do, like that. that today, but when you preach the same doctrine like we do here at the Trailblazer broadcast, we preach the same gospel that they preached under the power of the same Holy Spirit that they, and souls are broken up and made to cry, I'm lost, I want to be saved. These modern unsaved preachers will come down on you, cry you down, belittle your ministry, make fun of you. Some of these are the ways which the unsaved preachers shut up the kingdom of heaven. They have their influence. They use it to the glory of the devil and keeping the kingdom of heaven shut up. Because Matthew 23:29 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Old John the Baptist called this group, what did he call them? The Bible says a generation of vipers. I like to call them just a bunch of old snakes. Yeah, that's why we always running back to where the Lord calls John the Baptist to call out, repent. That's what we're doing today, calling on you to repent. In our lesson that we've been looking at, we've studied the problem, unsaved preachers, showing you how the 23rd Matthew, chapter of Matthew, the unsaved preacher shuts up the kingdom of God. And today we want to get started a little bit, showing you why the unsaved preacher will not enter the kingdom of God himself, why he doesn't ever get saved, and then show you how he keeps others from entering. Let's consider first the fact that the unsaved preacher will not enter the kingdom of God himself. Now, that's a tragedy, my friend. To have a man deceived all of his life, maybe never done anything but preach, and yet unsaved. As we look around today, everywhere we turn, we find evidence that the present generation does not know the Lord. That is, we have a generation raised up who doesn't know the Lord. Now, why has that happened? The reason for this, because in the last 40, 50, 60 years, old-time Bible repentance has not been preached, and the Holy Spirit has not held back. No, not the influence. The Holy Spirit influence has just not been with us. Now, listen, the Bible repentance is not preached. Our preachers have thrown down the Bible repentance. They have. We've raised up a people, gotten them into church without regeneration. We've gotten them into church without knowing Christ, without having Christ come into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. They have no knowledge of the Lord. All they have is a church membership. And my friend, out of that group, listen now, we're making a point here. Out of that group have come our preachers and our religious leaders of today who hate the Word of God. In essence, they hate the Word of God because they don't want their will crossed. They want their own program. They do not like the Word of God preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we've gotten a group in the church who do not know the Lord. The average preacher today in the pulpit knows nothing. I say nothing about experimental knowledge of the Son of God, and I'd like to drive a stake down there, and you hold on to it. The average preacher today that you know and I know knows nothing about experimental knowledge of the Son of God. And so they will not enter the kingdom themselves, and when the truth is preached, they'll not have it. Now, folks, I meet folks day in and day out who want to talk about our program here. We don't have one. They want to know how many members you got. They want to know what this, what that, what's this. But they don't want to talk about the Lord. I say, come on, friend, let's talk about the Lord. I have a man told me that he went to the hospital to see a friend, man that was sick, and said all he talked about was how big, how small the room was, how bad the service was, how the nurses were mean to him, how he couldn't see the TV, how he couldn't do this. So finally the preacher asked him, said, my friend, do you have anything contrary to God, to Christ? Is Christ, you got anything wrong with Christ? Oh, no, I don't have any. He said, well, let's talk about him then. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about the poor old sinner being saved by grace. Let's do that. Kind of humbled him down, didn't it? That's right. Do you hear anybody talking about the Lord in your circle of friends? Do they talk about the Lord? Do they get together and talk about the Lord? As I move around amongst folks, I go out to eat in a nice restaurant. I see folks come in laughing, joking, talking, ha-ha, and he-he, and drinking their little cocktail before dinner. They eat a get a gracious meal brought to the table. They never bow their head. Not one out of 100 do it. Bow their head, give thanks unto the Lord. I see preachers. I know them when I see them. They don't have their crowd or their group to get quiet and stand still or sit still and say the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the food and all of it. They don't do that. No, sir. No, sir. It's not one out of 100 you're going to find that do that. Listen, listen, listen now. Why will folks not have the gospel? Because they're proud. Do you know it takes the pride, there's not going to be any pride in heaven. No proud man, no proud woman will ever be saved. I often laugh or get a kick out of sometimes back there in the, when I was younger, and I saw folks going out to church. And on Easter Sunday, oh, man, you'd see they got everything on, the Easter bonnet on. They went and bought a new dress, new shoes to match, and all of these things, the handkerchief and the purse. But that's pride, my friend. Hadn't been to church in a year. You ask their pastor, they hadn't been to church in a year. But Easter Sunday, oh, they got to go show off everything. And that's right, that's what folks do. Proud, proud. Proud. And our preachers now, the education and the training they received has exalted them. They know this, they know that. They've taken all these classes. They got DDs and PhDs and all of those things. And theological professors been patting them on the back and all of those things. But when you begin to talk to them about being saved, do you know Christ, about being broken at the feet of Christ, they say, no, sir, you're not talking about me. No, you know God has to hide pride from us before we'll accept salvation at the hands of the Lord. That's right, according to Job 33:17. The keynote of a true preacher is that that man is nothing, and Christ is everything. I tell folks, I'm just an old knot here. Yeah, just an old knot. Paul said the Lord took he that was nothing or he that was naught to confound, that the Lord took those things that were naught to confound the wise. Yes, well, that's what I am, just an old knot. But the average preacher is not. No, man, he's all inflated. That's right. You listen to the next sermon you hear. Does a preacher exalt man or does he exalt Christ? I've heard preachers get on the radio with their broadcast, like on a Mother's Day or Father's Day, and all they do is talk about that kind of stuff. Listen, I love my mother and my dad. They'd both gone on now. But I don't preach Father's Day sermons. I don't preach Mother's Day sermons. They get up and tell how old Momo so-and-so is and how many children, how many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great. They don't bring God's message. They ought to be saying, are your grandchildren saved, Mother? Your children saved, Mother? Grandchildren? How about Dad? Is your son saved? Is your children saved? We're not going to preach a Father's Day sermon here. No, we're going to preach the gospel. Are you saved? Did Christ die for you? Do you know anything about blood redemption, my friend? That's the kind of Father's Day and Mother's Day message I bring. Listen, I want you mothers and dads to be saved. I want you to be awakened if you're not saved and come down to the foot of the cross crying for mercy. Lord, save me, else thou perish. Oh, listen, I know that this is not a popular message, my friend. I know that. Oh, listen, I know the world won't have the gospel. The world won't have the truth. But one here and one there will have it. That's right. That's right. We recently heard from a man down in the Cook Islands, way off down there somewhere. If you know where the Cook Islands are, we got a hold of one of our booklets, and the Lord got a hold of dealing with his heart and wrote us and tell us, can you believe that? That's the sovereignty of God. One of God's elect down there in the Cook Islands, praising the Lord, wanting us to send him some more literature and information about being saved and what the Lord means to us here at Radio Missions, the Trailblazer broadcast. That's what we do. We preach the gospel day in and day out. We know that you've got to know the Lord before you can preach him. You can't tell anything you don't know. No, that's what we have now, stammering and stuttering and all of this stuff. I heard these folks. But listen, my heart goes out to them. I'm not critical of them. I love them. I love our preachers. I do. and I try my best to be a friend to them, but I can't go along with their false message. No, if they're not preaching Christ dying, Christ coming, Christ dying for sinners, the Holy Spirit awakening sinners to their lost condition and letting them see that they're lost and doomed and damned, I can't go along with that. No, sir, I have to take a stand against error, and I do that day by day here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis. I wish you would write me. Would you write me and tell me you're listening to the broadcast? Remember, my mailing address is Radio Missions or just the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. It's been so good to be with you. Write me. Would you do that, please?